There's something about coming together and worshiping the Lord, right? About 8 years ago, 10 years ago, my favorite thing to do was to polish off a 12-pack of Budweiser's and watch movies and chase women. I never thought at 31 I'd be in here hanging out with you guys. Yeah, on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Sober, chasing the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Y'all believe in miracles? Because you just saw one. I'm going to hand out the sheet for today. Title of today's message is called Leaven. And we're going to go over chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. We've been following the story of Hannah. And last time we were together, we finished up our story about Hannah, and I introduced you guys to, or the Bible introduced us to, two guys named Hophni and Phinehas and the high priest Eli at the tabernacle at Shiloh. I don't know if you guys remember what we talked about. For those of you who are here, we talked about the importance of burning the fat first and why their sin was so great. The scripture tells us that the sin of the two young men at the tabernacle was so great that the Lord set himself against them. And at the end of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, God actually sends a man of God. He gives him a word to go to the tabernacle at Shiloh to deliver to Eli. And this is what he told him. He said, look, I know that I promised your ancestors Aaron and the high priests and the Levitical line that you would always be my priest forever, and that you'd always have a dwelling place with me, serving me in my presence. But here's the deal. What you've done over the last couple of generations is if you've abhorred my offerings and your sons have been vile and you've allowed that to happen. Remember we talked about them stealing God's worship and praise. We compared that to Lucifer in Isaiah. Hello? We compared that to Lucifer in Isaiah 14. We good? Better? You want to turn it down just a hair, maybe? Oh, okay. Y'all hear me? All right. We compare that to Lucifer in Isaiah 14, and we said that was the original sin. Lucifer did that very same thing, and here we have Eli and his sons doing that very thing. So what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to read the scripture with you guys. I highlighted the bold parts that I think spoke to me the most over the last 30 days, and I want to really key in on those items. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Say rare. There was no widespread revelation, and it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered and said, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lay down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called yet again as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears will tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli came and called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he answered, "here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God's do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me, all of the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it's the Lord. Let him do what it seems good to him. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. All of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Bless the reading of his name. So this is the entire chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, okay? We're going to talk about hearing God's voice, and we're going to talk about today why we can't hear the Lord's voice. All right. Picture this. They're in the tabernacle at Shiloh. Okay. Do y'all know what a tabernacle is? It means tent in Hebrew. Okay. At Shiloh, the scripture doesn't say how big it was. All we know is that the ark of God was there. And we know that there was two guys in the tabernacle at this point in the story, Samuel and Eli. It says that the word of the Lord was rare. If you look up rare in this text, it just means precious, okay? It doesn't mean that the Lord never spoke. It just means that the word was precious. So when you heard from the Lord, you need to hang on to it because it's precious. It also says that there's no widespread revelation. Do you guys find that odd? Because you've got Eli, he's the high priest, and you've got his two sons. Part of their duty was to spread revelation when they heard the Lord's voice. So when this says no widespread revelation, that should be your cue to say, I don't get it. Why? That's weird. Lord, tell me why. Ask the Holy Spirit for the reason. I did that, and here's what the Lord told me. Leaven. Leaven's nowhere in this scripture, but that's what the Holy Spirit told me. And I was like, well, okay, let's do a deep dive. So one of the things about leaven that you'll find, there's about 7 to 8 to 10-ish, less than 10 scriptures about leaven in the entirety of the Bible. A couple of places, it's in there multiple times because of the Gospels. And when I was looking through there, I found this passage from Leviticus 6, and it's talking about the grain offering. In Leviticus, if you go read the offerings, the Lord's given Moses instructions about the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the whole nine, okay? When he gets to the grain offering, this is what he says, and leaven's in here. It says, this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering with its oil and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it, Aaron and his sons shall eat with unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting, they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I've given it as a portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the trespass offering. Okay, no leaven? That's just yeast. Why is that such a big deal? I didn't understand this. And I didn't understand why the Lord said Eli couldn't hear because of leaven. Think about this. They're in the tabernacle, okay? The Lord stands and says to Samuel, Samuel. It wasn't Samuel. Go look at the scripture. It's an exclamation point. Samuel. Three times, okay? Three times. Samuel runs to Eli and thinks it's Eli. The only reason you would mistake that it's Eli is if it was an audible voice and he was within earshot. So he's mistakenly thinking that Eli's calling him, which means they were nearby. Two guys, one voice from the Lord, one guy hears, the other does not. How is that possible? Okay? And that's when the Lord said leaven. And so when you get into this scripture with the grain offering, it's like, well, what's the big deal about leaven? Why is leaven such a big deal? You can't be around it. The Lord said, don't put it in the offering. When you bring your grain, because they would bring the grain offering and they would sacrifice the first fruits of their field so he would bless the rest of the field, right? So in this theological commentary, I'm going to read you. This is Matthew Henry. I got it online from one of my favorite Bible study programs. This is talking about why leaven was not allowed in the grain offering. It says the meat, and this, it talks about kind of meat offerings too, but I want you to really hear me about the grain offering. It says, meat offerings may typify Christ as presented to God for us and as being the bread of life to our souls, but they rather seem to denote our obligation to God for the blessings of providence and those good works which are acceptable to God. The term meat, and still is, remember we talked about the meat offering last time, right? The last two sessions, Hannah, the double portion. The meat offering was to be eaten for food and not burned. These meat offerings are mentioned after the burnt offerings. Without an interest in the sacrifice of Christ and devotedness of heart to God, such services cannot be accepted. Leaven is the emblem of pride, malice, and hypocrisy. The former are directly opposed to the graces of humility, love, and sincerity, which God approves. The latter, which is pride, malice, and hypocrisy, takes men from their exercises of devotion and the practice of good works. Christ, in his character and sacrifice, was wholly free from the things denoted by leaven. And his suffering life and agonizing death were the very opposites to worldly pleasure. His people are called to follow and to be like him. All right, why is leaven unholy? If it's the emblem of pride and malice and hypocrisy. Remember Jesus, he said this in Mark 8, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. It's mentioned multiple times. So why is leaven, yeast, why is it so bad? Well, if you do a study on leaven, I'm going to read you the definition of yeast. You'll find tremendous things about yeast and actually how it's made and how it's used. And it blew me away this month when I was looking at it. Here's the definition of yeast, okay? You guys with me? I'm not all over the place, am I? Okay. Just if I do that, just ignore it. Yeasts are unicellular organisms which evolved from multicellular ancestors, with some species having the ability to develop multicellular characteristics by forming strings of connected budding cells known as pseudo hyphae or false hyphae. Hello? Pseudo hyphae, false hyphae, okay? Yeast sizes vary greatly depending upon species and environment. Most yeasts reproduce asexually by mitosis, and many do so by the asymmetric division process known as budding. Yeasts with their single-celled growth habit can be contrasted with molds which grow actual hyphae. H-Y-P-H-A-E. Back to biology 1310 or high school, wherever you learn biology. If you remember, hyphae, it's just a strand of singular cells, and it's like a finger of cells that the mold species, molds, like if you see black mold that I know I have it at my house sometimes in the bathroom. Enough time goes by, I'm not checking behind the blinds, and there's enough heat and moisture in there making this incubator for mold, and it just goes nuts. Next thing you know, I've got black all the way around the windowsills. That's how it grows and produces fruit and develops and matures through the hyphae process, okay, for molds. Yeast, it's different. Yeast, they multiply by budding process, called mitosis. It just takes a single cell of itself and divides it into two, and the genes from this cell now split off into two cells, and now you've got more yeast developing. But per Wikipedia, some yeast, there's like 40 to 50% of yeast species actually have hyphae that don't do anything. It looks good. It looks like it can produce stuff, but it can't, because it's fake. Hello, why can't yeast be in the presence of the Lord? It's the emblem of what's fake. It's unauthentic. The Lord says, don't put any yeast in the bread. Why? It's fake. I can't. This is how holy the, if anything else you hear today, this should tell you the Lord is holy, and this speaks volumes. You think he doesn't know about his product that he created? He created everything. In Corinthians, it says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, down to the hyphae and the cell and the budding process. I love this stuff because you can get into the, oh, well, science is right. Oh, no, the Bible's right. Listen, it's all right. It's all the same. The Lord created everything. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. All we're doing is discovering it. A lot of it for the first time. But it's always been since day one when he spoke life into everything. So let's talk about yeast and its forms, right? So it's got some fake false hyphae in some of the species, right? Can't produce anything, just looks good. What else do we know about yeast? It also says, by fermentation, the yeast species converts carbs into carbon dioxide and alcohols. For thousands of years, the carbon dioxide has been used for baking and the alcohol in alcoholic beverages. I was just talking about this earlier, about the Budweiser, right? So yeast consumes carbs, produces carbon dioxide that's used for alcohols and for baking. Bread, if you think about it, what does yeast do to bread? It rises. It makes it look bigger than it actually is. Pride. Exactly. It's still the same carb count. All we added was some yeast to it. That's the action yeast takes. Yeast makes leaven, makes things bigger, or appear larger or better or more developed than what it actually is. It's still the same carb count. I remember running through my grandmother's kitchen when I was a kid, banging around, trying to get something to eat. My grandmother would just scream at me, get out of here. You're killing the rising process. And I'm like, what is she talking about? Well, now I know, but she would have these pans. She's making, dough. And she's got these pans of these little balls of dough on it. And she had added yeast to it. And she was letting it rise. But if you interrupt that, it won't do its thing. It'll kind of keep it from getting as large as she was wanting it to get before you pop it in the oven. Then it finishes the job. But one of the things is interesting, too, about leaven in bread. Did you guys know, through research, I found this out. It blew my mind. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was like, dude, check this out, check this out, check this out, check this out, check this out. Just this whole rabbit hole path, it was crazy. Bread that is made with yeast dries out quicker, and it's harder to digest. So Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Hello, religion. Hello, politics, right? What does politics do? The political agenda. Let me advertise myself to make myself look better than what I actually am so I can push my own agenda. Religion. Let me check off all the boxes and let me make myself look good on the outside, but I'm actually corrupt and sinful and not saved on the inside. Not holy, not pure, but I look like it because I'm doing all the right things. That's why Jesus said, beware of that leaven, because that leaven has action to it. Their false hyphae within the Pharisees and within Herod, beware because it's infectious. And we're going to talk in a minute. I'll show you some scripture on infections. We get to talk about yeast infections today, guys. Another thing about yeast is that, and we talked about the whole alcohol thing. What happens when you consume too much alcohol? Yeah? You get a false reality. I think if you wiggle that mouse, it might. Yeah. What happens when you consume too much alcohol? You get a false reality. Right? Again, with this whole theme about leaven, it gives a false reality. It's fake. It's not true. But let's talk about the yeast infections, right? If you get too much yeast in one area, it can cause an infection. This is 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 11. This is the New Living Translation. It's Paul talking about the church at Corinth. There was a man in the congregation that was sleeping with his stepmother. Paul's addressing that because they said, how do we deal with this in one of their letters, in the first letter. In the second letter, which is actually 1 Corinthians, is the second letter, he's addressing answers to their issues. This is what he says. You're boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the entire batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us, so let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. The exact opposite of what leaven represents, which is pride, not humility, not love, pride. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, who are greedy, who cheat people or worship idols. You'd have to leave the world to avoid people like that. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols or is abusive or who is a drunkard or who cheats people. Don't even eat with such a people. Too much yeast allowed into the batch of dough can cause an infection. He's saying, your batch of dough, your congregation is holy and pure, and you're the bride of Christ. If you allow this sin to permeate the entire batch of dough, look out, here comes spirit of darkness. Leaven represents pride. It represents the spirit of darkness. It's the exact opposite. It symbolizes the exact opposite, as we read in that theological commentary, of the things that Christ represented, which was humility and love, right? So what's the solution to it? And we were joking about this. What's the solution to the yeast infection? Somebody said it earlier. Antifungal, or what did you say?
Antibiotic,
right? So similar to removing a man from the congregation, right? There's got to be something you do to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. Remember, yeast can only take action if you add it in. You've got to remove it. So it only does one thing. It only buds and multiplies, given the atmosphere, given the environment that it's in. Right? We just talked about molds and how they reproduce. Pride only produces pride, right? This is exactly why you get in church and there's 100 people in here and 50 of them can't hear the Lord's voice and the other half can, right? This is also something that, if allowed to remain, can infect the entire congregation. So it's one of those things that, I'm not a legalist or anything, but I'm saying we need to be aware of how we hear. What's keeping us from hearing the Lord's voice? Eli could not hear the Lord's voice, and we know now because of the way that he handled the situation, and we know that his sons were vile, and for decades they were just stealing the tithe, stealing the praise, stealing the worship, sleeping with the women at the tabernacle. The Lord set himself against them. Remember it says in Proverbs 3:4, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And James 4, it says, therefore, resist the devil, or humble yourself before the Lord, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Where leaven is present, God can't be. So, let me go ahead and read you another scripture or two here about darkness. Remember Eli's eyes? It said back, it said Eli's eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Your ability to see God and hear God's voice can be affected by too much leaven in your life, okay? That's exactly what happened to him. Here's the parallel scripture to the darkness. Jesus talking here, Matthew 25:30. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 13, he said to his disciples, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they will have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Eli is within earshot of Samuel. Samuel thinks it's his voice, but it's really God's voice. Eli doesn't hear the Lord at all. His heart was hard because of pride. And he couldn't hear the voice. When you've got a hardening of the heart taking place, it's really tough to hear the Lord and feel his presence. Remember John 1:1? John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. It's talking about Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word. Where his presence is, so is his voice. Remove his presence, remove his voice. He cannot be in the presence of leaven. You want more intimacy with God? Remove the leaven out of your life. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about hearing God's voice. That's it. I'm not saying remove leaven and be saved. No, that'd be the opposite of the gospel. We're talking about hearing God's voice. So be careful what you allow into your life that can affect your ability to hear the Lord's voice. Here's what's dangerous about leaven. This is something that I'm going to share with you guys. I wrote it in my quiet time, kind of like last time. It's a little bit long, but bear with me. Here's what's dangerous about leaven, okay? Now we know what it is. We know why Jesus said beware of it. We know it represents spiritual pride and darkness, okay? What's dangerous about leaven is that it's attractive to us. Let's face it, Pharaoh's mansion was not a one-bedroom shack. It was a luxurious dwelling adorned with silver and gold and the finer things of life. The children of Israel even stripped them of their wealth when they walked out of the country. And when they got to the desert and realized that what they were now experiencing was not what they were accustomed to, they actually wanted to go back. But what they didn't understand is that the spirit behind leaven never had their best interest at heart. Though Pharaoh's mansion was attractive, and it was actually oppressive in spirit, and its goal was to make them their slaves. This is how leaven works. First, it will let you move in by giving you a one-bedroom apartment at Potiphar's house and give you a place to rest your head. Then, it will promote you to his personal attendant and give you ownership over his personal affairs. Next, it will make up a lie to get you thrown into prison. But when it sees God's on your side, it will set you free again and give you a higher title than before called second in command. It will even dress you in fine linen, put a chain around your neck, a ring on your finger, and give you authority over its entire domain to the point where everyone will actually rely on you for food. And before you know it, you'll start calling that land home. You'll give yourself an Egyptian name, marry into the bloodline, still not realizing that you're a foreigner in a foreign land and still only second in command. Then it will pretend that it cares about your family too. Let them move in for the long haul. But the spirit of leaven is stealthy. Just when you think you're doing well for yourself and in control of your life, it will put you to work by making you build bricks and tote mortar. And when it sees you handle the job well, it will make it harder by making you gather your own straw. As time goes by, you become a servant to the very thing that took care of you and your ancestors for so long. What you thought was a luxurious mansion now becomes a prison cell. What you thought was life-giving is now life-taking. Now I realize why Jesus said, beware of leaven. It's the spirit of darkness masking itself as light, looking to devour what God created for his good pleasure and what he intended to bring him glory forevermore. Why do I say that it was the spirit of leaven that separated the Israelites from God? It's because Egypt is a type and shadow of slavery and bondage, which is ultimately the end result when we allow leaven to spread into our lives. If Egypt represents bondage, we got to ask ourselves how the Israelites got under their control. When Joseph died, his offspring stayed, and when a new Pharaoh came into power that didn't know Joseph, the Israelites fell under the oppression of Egypt. If they would have left the land and had remembered that God told Abraham that Canaan was their promised land, they would have remained in slavery. They would not have remained in slavery for 400 years. But why did they? Leaven, bondage and separation from God is the end result of us letting the spirit of leaven invade our lives. Since leaven is attractive, it's easy to let this happen. When Joseph was in charge, things seemed great. But when he was gone, it turned bad quickly. Remember what scripture tells us about the enemy. He disguises himself as an angel of light. Though the children of Israel seemed to have been walking in the light when Joseph was second in command, they were still under Pharaoh's rule, not God's. But there's a silver lining to this whole leaven thing. Although it can lead to bondage and make it difficult for us to hear God's voice and be in his presence, the best part is that it does not mean we are not saved. God still called the Israelites his kids when they were in bondage. And as a matter of fact, it did not keep him from rescuing them. This should tell us that there's no bondage, no sin too difficult for God to rescue us from. Those of us who fail to walk in intimacy with God daily must ask ourselves how much we've leaven we've allowed into our lives that's causing this. You want greater intimacy with God? Rebuke the spirit of leaven in your life that's causing the separation. I mean, there's good things that I enjoy that are common graces from the Lord, but they don't deserve second place. I mean, they don't deserve first place in my life, and God certainly doesn't deserve second place in my life. Anytime I allow something to take first place in my heart, that's a pride, that's the spirit of pride rising up in me. That's the leaven. So something as simple as a glass of wine turning into three bottles at a dinner party, something as simple as a sporting event or a hobby or something you really enjoy, that it's not bad. The Lord created those things for our good pleasure and to bring him glory. But the worship doesn't terminate on that item. The worship of that item passes through to him. Okay? So you like to golf, you like to fish, you like to hunt. Okay? Those things are good, but if you're not careful, just like Pharaoh's mansion, it's attractive to us. But it can become our God if we let it. We can then, as a result, struggle to hear God's leading voice in our lives. And he could be saying, come back to me. Come back to me. I'm number one. I won't be number two. Come back to me. The longer you let that yeast infection go, the worse it gets. Let me tell you a quick story as we close here. I was driving home Wednesday. This is how leaven in my life kind of worked on Wednesday. I was driving home. I was tired, okay? And it was like 8:30, and I was about to get here in New Braunfels, and I already had my evening planned. The kids were staying with my mother-in-law. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to run. And I got some extra time on my hands. I'm going to watch some TV. I don't ever really get to do that, so I'm going to sit down and do that. I'm going to eat, you know, get some rest, maybe even go to bed early, pray. My wife calls me, hey, can you go to the store and pick up some dog food? Oh, and I'm like, man, I'm making good time here, and I'm exhausted. And so in my heart, I'm thinking, I could do that, and I think that's the right thing to do, but what do I mean, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. What's attractive to me is what I already had going on in my own mind. That was comfortable to me. That's what I wanted to do. At least pride was telling me that, right? Selfishness was telling me that. So I said, and you should never say this to your wife, what are you doing? That didn't work out too well. She said, I'm on the couch. I don't feel well. I'm watching TV. I said, you're laying on the couch? I'm about 40 minutes away from the house. Why don't you go pick up the dog food? And she didn't like that. So we kind of got into a little argument, and it ended, let's just say this, it ended, we elevated our voice, and I knew that wasn't good. It was going in a red, we need to stop this. So it ended with us sitting in silence. As I'm still driving and she's still on the couch, no solution for the dog food, but we're ending the conversation with silence on both ends of the line, just like this. What seemed like an eternity, it was probably just a couple of minutes, but nobody said a word. And it was a matter of who's going to hold out the longest. Y'all ever had that situation? So finally, we disconnected after that long period of silence. And as I was driving, you know, the Lord is so sweet. You know, he's not really tough on me. He's actually really sweet. The guilt and the condemnation and the shame, we were talking about that earlier, it doesn't come from him. The book of Timothy says that. And so, you know, sweetly, genuinely, the Lord spoke into my ear and said, that's not the right thing to do, and you know that. Don't ever talk to her that way. Don't talk to your wife like that. Go apologize. And you're picking up the dog food. And I said, all right. So I called her back, and I said, look, that was dumb. I don't even know. There's no excuse for it. I could sit here and say that I'm tired and, you know, and I've been working all day, and it doesn't matter. Sandra, I'm sorry. I love you. I got the dog food. Don't worry about it. Stay where you're at. And so, you know, she's, I love you too. And And you know, it worked out well in the end because I heard the Lord's voice and I listened to his voice. Before that, I wasn't listening to his voice. I was following that attractive spirit. The attractive spirit to me was telling me, you worked your butt off today. You don't deserve to do that. She shouldn't have even asked you. She's at home. She's not doing anything. She should be the one that gets the dog food. I should not have listened to that. But here's the deal. The Lord was talking to me this entire time that I was listening and following this leavenous spirit that Jesus said, be aware of. Be aware of pride. Be aware of hypocrisy. Be aware of those things that mask themselves in light, that make themselves look bigger than what they are and more attractive than what they are. That's not for you. You're the bride of Christ. You're a people of God's own possession. You're a holy nation. You're the righteousness in Christ. How do you remove leaven? We talked a little bit about it earlier. I'm going to read you a scripture out of Exodus 12. You probably know this if you remember back to the night of the Passover. Y'all remember the instructions that he gave the Israelites the week prior to the angel of death passing over? It was about leaven. Okay? This is Exodus 12, 15. New Living Translation. It says, for 7 days the bread you eat must be made without yeast. On the first day of the festival, remove every trace of yeast from your homes. Anyone who eats bread made with yeast during the 7 days of the festival will be cut off from the community of Israel. If you're not careful, you can read into this and go, well, that's God telling them they got to clean up their act. Well, what do we know? Scripture tells us, while we were lost, he found us, right? There is no cleaning up your act. You've got a leaven problem. You've got a pride in your life. You've got the spirit of darkness on you, trying to invade into your world. God has a very simple answer for you. Remove the leaven from your house and come to me. This wasn't the Lord telling them, clean up your act. He was saying, you've got to come to me with an authentic heart or I can't save you. He was about to send the angel of death to pass over to save them in mass exodus. But I need you for an entire week to remove every trace of leaven from your life, because where leaven is, I cannot be. Where there's pride, I'm the exact opposite. I cannot be in the same spot as pride. Okay? I'm love. Love and pride don't mix. Remove it from your house for an entire week. Come to me with an authentic heart. Drop to your knees and ask for my help, and I'll rescue you. That's what this picture is. This isn't a picture of anybody pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. This is a picture of you getting on your knees and coming to the Lord and saying, I need you. I need you. Now call your wife back and apologize. In Matthew 5, remember what Jesus said? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means recognize that you need me. When you say, Lord, I need you. I humble myself in your presence. I'm getting rid of this leavenous spirit that's causing me to rise up in pride and make myself look bigger or better than I actually am. I'm dropping the whole charade, and I'm coming to you with an authentic heart. That's when he does his greatest work. That's when he does his greatest work. You guys pray with me, okay? Lord, praise your holy name. Thank you for who you are. Without you in our lives, we'd be nothing. Help us to drop the charade. This is us coming to you with a humble heart, bowing our knee to you, letting you know that we need you. Those things that are good and right and true that you've given us are awesome, and we thank you for those graces, but they don't deserve first place in our life. Only you do. Only you do. Show us your way. Show us who we are in you every day. When we wake up in the morning, remind us how much we need you. We want to hear you. And we can't unless we turn our ear and we listen. Remind us to turn and listen every day when we wake up, Father. Praise your holy name. Amen.